Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts launches a powerful public art project honoring cancer survivors. We discuss the annual Science Olympiad is happening at GVSU's Regional Science and Math Center. West Michigan author Ovell R. Barbie writes the book The Big House, and Michigander Jeff Smith wrote the book and made the documentary Reversing the Missionary Position, Learning Solidarity on Mayan Time. We discuss that as well.
Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts under strong leadership. That would be you, Hannah Berry. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You like our new studio?
I love it. It's so cute. And there's so much art everywhere.
There really is. We need a Hannah Berry piece of art.
Or an
Isaiah Rivera piece of art. What do you think?
Oh, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad that you are here. Thanks for being here. Stand by. Oh, the good works of Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts. Here's your headline. You launch a powerful public art project that honors cancer survivors, doing much more in the community as well. Hannah, describe your center.
Yeah, so we do a lot of stuff. Over the past few years, we've been focused in Grand Rapids, especially in the Creston neighborhood, but we have expanded our reach because we know that there are so many creative people who want to facilitate public art as well as do good works in their community. So we have a program in Detroit that's happening. Well, we have a huge project in Detroit that's happening with the American Cancer Society. There are over 100 and some windows being painted of local cancer survivors by local artists. A 6-story mural by a local artist named Ivan Montoya. He's doing a mentorship program with that. 3 different paint-by-numbers murals. But then we also are working in Grand Rapids on basketball courts all over the place. And then another event called the Creative Leadership Forum. So while it seems like one person is somewhere, there's an artist or creative person working within Lions and Rabbits, I guess, at this point, throughout the state of Michigan.
There's a big, we might get you back before this, a big week in June, an International Placemaking Week?
It is. It's International Placemaking Week. So PPS is a company that does placemaking throughout the entire nation. And it's really focused on government bodies and then people who are working within the arts to come together and learn from people. We've used that opportunity to really, really think about what our local partners in Detroit need. We work with the Corktown Neighborhood Association, and they're distributing over 200,000 pounds of food already out of their kitchen. And so for us, we're talking about food distribution. We're talking about public space. We're talking about the SDG goals, the 17 sustainability national goals or international goals. And we're really, really focused on how art and creativity and placemaking can really solve those problems. So during International Placemaking Week, we have a panel that will be convening of different women throughout the Detroit different neighborhoods and that are doing work within the arts and culture work. And then we also will be having a zero food waste dinner for anybody who wants to come. So that will be the survivors, the neighbors, the artists. And really it's for those other government bodies, those other creative people to come and learn from Detroiters within their space. Also, the building that we're working on is vacant and it has been for a very long time. We helped get it deemed historic with the city of Detroit and also working with the property owner. But the whole purpose of it is you can have a vacant building and you can still make change. So if we can all come around the outside of it and rally together, what kind of change will we be able to make on the inside?
There's the big picture. Would you reintroduce Isaiah to us?
Yes, this is Isaiah Riviera. He has joined our team. Actually, he was part of the Grow 1000 program and has been an asset to Lions and Rabbits in marketing.
So, tell us about you, Isaiah. Glad you're here.
Yeah, so like Hannah Berry said, joined through the Grow 1000 program, brought on as a communications intern, and just really, you know, clicked with the team. You know, like they say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So really appreciate, you know, the team's help so far, and, you know, being brought on board full time has been, you know, really awesome, just seeing what Lions and Rabbits is.
Yes. For one who's never heard of the Grow 1000 program,
yep.
What is that? And I'll stay with you, Isaiah.
Yeah, so the city of Grand Rapids works with different employers around Grand Rapids. And, you know, there's a summer program that targets kids 15 to 24 and just giving them employment throughout the summer as well as developing them in different public speaking sessions and whatnot. And then the Grow 1000 Academy targets 18 to 24-year-olds, and that's where They can find employers, you know, get professional development over 2 weeks, and then go to a job fair. And that job fair is where I met Hannah Berry, and clicked right there, you know, being able to get brought on board, get interviewed, and yeah, the rest is history.
Not everybody gets to click with Hannah Berry. Consider yourself a thumbs up. Tell me a little bit about you, Isaiah. From Grand Rapids?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Wyoming, but, you know, around the area my whole life. I graduated from Fair State University with a degree in sports communication and really just looking to give back. I do some creative work downtown with Spear 17, so just really looking to push that forward.
Wonderful. And Hannah, how important is it for you to bring up interns, for interns to learn about the powers such as Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts?
I mean, I could go on and on about how important youth and education is, but there's also adult education, right? And to be able to see leaders that want to lead and they want to inform and want to communicate, that is very seldom in general. But then also, when he did interview, he ended his interview with, "Yeah, my brother was screen printing at your golf outing. Sorry I couldn't come." So that's where I'm sitting here, and I'm like, we're all connected, and I did not know that, right? And so that's where, if we can lead with creativity, we can continue to empower other kinds of jobs, and we can showcase how much creativity matters to those other jobs.
Yes. Your installation has, what, a theme still here, rooted in place, emerging in public?
Yep. Yeah, so a lot of, I mean, you can say this about Grand Rapids, you could say this about Detroit, but in completely different ways. Detroit, people have been holding down a lot of work, whether it's in their neighborhoods or working with developers from outside of towns or dealing with houses that are historically deemed and have a lot of work to be done and not the resources to do it. So in Detroit, the point of still here is that this is theirs, right? This land that we are on is indigenous land. This is a historic building. These two neighborhoods are coming together to do this kind of work, but then also cancer prevention, right? The Voices of Black Women campaign with the American Cancer Society, they were looking for 300 ambassadors, and those 300 ambassadors were there to do long-term studies. So what is cancer prevention from age 20 to 50 if you haven't had it yet? Well, a lot of that work and finding women that want to do that is going to be a challenge, right? So if we can once again lead with public art, you're creating a space for belonging, you're creating trust building, healthy community, and you're also making sure that the creative people have jobs and that they're honoring these women. So really, for me, it was, how can we make sure that everybody who should be a part of it is welcome and invited in whatever stage they want to be invited in, but that also there's trust building between health sciences and creativity, and that really as people, we need to come together around that.
Nice. Isaiah Rivera, what's your dream job?
My dream job is definitely working in sports, but I've really liked, you know, getting involved in the arts. I interned for Art Prize last year, so that's something I've been around my whole life. I remember being a little kid and going to those field trips. And this year, I was on as a contractor, and being able to give those same kids like field trips was pretty cool overall. But, you know, hopefully one day break into sports. I know there's some minor league teams in Grand Rapids, so hopefully stay local. But, you know, I'm really like where I am.
Sometimes you have to go pay your dues, but stay the course. You're under good hands now for sure with Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts. Keep up what you do, Isaiah. All right, what do we need to know when it comes to what you're doing, Hannah Berry?
Yeah, so I would say the two most important things are this Detroit project right now, and then this weekend on the 28th, we are going to be occupying Bamboo, the co-working space off of Division and Fulton. They are also a partner that is in Detroit as well, so they're great. And we will be having our creative leadership forum. That's a free event for anyone to go to, but it's cross-sector people coming to speak to artists and creative people. So it's really important for us to be able to, you know, show that workforce development, showcase how creativity fits into all these buckets. So I would say sign up for the creative leadership forum if you want to go. There's a happy hour after at Mingling, and you can see the new Bamboo, old UICA building, and then also the Detroit Project. If you know local artists, cancer survivors, people who want to fund the project, that project is definitely the center of what we want to do. And there's other, Grand Rapids wants to do it too, yep. Right? Everyone wants to do it. So how can we do it to the best of our ability there and then continue to spread the good news.
Takes a village. Best website?
lionsandrabbits.com/Detroit for the Detroit Project and just lionsandrabbits.com for the events.
Well, stay on a roll. You, Hannah Berry, along with Isaiah Rivera. Take care, Lions and Rabbits Center for the Arts.
Thank you.
Grand Valley and her team hosting the Regional Science Olympiad Tournament for West Michigan K through 12 students. Glad you are here, Jess Sudi, to talk about it. You ready?
Absolutely.
Nice. Tell me, first of all, let's take apart your role, if I may. Tell me about the good work of certainly the Grand Valley's Regional Math and Science Center.
I am lucky enough to be their program manager, and with that I inherited the title of Region 12 Michigan Science Olympiad Director, and that's why I'm here today to tell you a little bit about that program.
Wonderful. All right, you have a tournament come March 21st. That is a Saturday.
It's this Saturday.
Thank you for taking time to talk about it. My goodness, what's a Science Olympiad?
It's a legacy event, really, and it's an opportunity for middle and high schooler students to compete in the STEM challenge of their choice. And the wonderful thing about Science Olympiad is that it is of their choice. They can choose everything from building something to performing in a lab, taking a test, and really challenging themselves across all disciplines of science. So they're not narrowed down to just one or two things. They can go out for their chemistry brain, and then they can come back in for their earth science brain, and then go out for their astronomy brain. So it's pretty great.
So cool. When and where is this happening specifically?
This is happening at the Valley campus for Grand Valley State University down in Allendale. And it will be this Saturday, March 21st. Events kick off at 8 o'clock.
Nice. And this is open to the public.
Yes, it is open to the public. We have events that are viewable, which is quite interesting. If you want to come down and see the students competing live, you can do that. Stop by Kinchy Hall of Science. That's our headquarters, and we'd be happy to tell you where you can go to see the action.
Yes. So let's get into the details a bit. Students competing in 47 events involving, obviously, a range of STEM. Are these students all West Michiganders, or is this a...
Oh, yeah, we're local. It's our region's... encompass Kent County, Ottawa County, and Muskegon County. And we're very happy to host teams and schools from all three of those places.
How many in general on a team?
15 are allowed on a primary team, but you can have an alternate team, and that can also get up to 15.
Are these co-ed?
Yes.
Are there some that are all male and all female?
We haven't had it yet, but we are seeing a really strong turnout for our women in STEM and our girls in STEM. So we love to see that increasing more and more every year.
Do the students know, and you might have mentioned this, exactly what they will be competing? They'll be building, there will be test events, lab events. Or how do they prepare for this?
Oh, this is, for some of these students, this is an all-year thing for them. They hit it in the fall, and they study, and practice up to the day of. So for some students, they already know what they want to do. They're specializing in it. It might be their third year doing it, and they're getting better and better each year. Other students, they're trying something new, like a build event or a new event. We get new events coming in every year as they cycle through. And so they know what they're doing, but there are surprises in store for them when they show up. Like, they don't know the test questions, and they don't know what the parameters of their build event might be until the day of.
That's you can't lose sleep over that. You just had to have a good night's sleep. Jess Sudi with us, Program Manager for Grand Valley's College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Of course, the Science Olympiad. Is this the biggest in the largest Science Olympiad region in Michigan?
Yes. Yes, we're the largest in Michigan, Region 12, and we're one of the best run and hosted legacy events. And I really feel that's because we have the backing of Grand Valley and this amazing community that turns out for us.
What makes for a best event?
A best event in my measurement of success is that our students are motivated, they're happy, they're proud of themselves, and they're determined to come back next year.
Are you preparing future scientists, engineers, and more?
Oh, absolutely. This is introducing students to things they didn't even know was a possibility. We're lucky enough that we have a couple of our event supervisors actually participated in Science Olympiad when they were students, and it inspired them to go into their career fields. So this is really a wonderful opportunity for students to find their passions.
And our winners determined at the end?
Yes, we have our winners for each category, and then we will have team winners that are announced at the end of the day, and they move on to state.
And is that in Michigan?
Yep, it's held in Michigan, in Lansing, and it will be on April 26th, I believe.
Wonderful. The day after the Shelley Irwin Fun Run.
Wow. Just have them run right over to Lansing.
You think like I do. How do we find out more information, Gray Jess?
Oh, visit us on our website. We have RMSC, GVSU, and you can select the Region 12 Science Olympiad page from there and learn all about us.
Support our future scientists, engineers, and well, maybe even broadcasters. How's that? All right, go get them. Have fun on Saturday.
Thank you.
The Big House. Let's talk to you, Ovell. Our Barbie, you are a junior, talking about Ask Ovell as you're home away from home. I see you out and about. I see you on LinkedIn. I'm like, let's get you in for an interview. I'm so glad you're here. Good morning.
Thank you, Shelley. I'm glad to be here with you on this chilly morning.
It's a chilly morning, isn't it? Well, it was at 5:45. Let's go there. Oh, tell me more about you, Ovell Barbie.
So I had a long career in human resources, more than 30 years. The last position that I had in the Grand Rapids area, I was SVP of HR and the Chief Diversity Officer at Spectrum Health just before it became Corewell. After that time, I have launched a successful LLC of Just One, doing business as Ask Ovell, with a trademark tagline of "You better ask somebody all those HR questions you may not want to ask at work."
There we are. Would you consider yourself a consultant?
Yeah, I consider myself a consultant. I have embraced the gig economy, and I like performing interim leadership work. I am currently serving as the interim HR leader for the city of Grand Rapids.
I knew there was that city of Grand Rapids tie. And you, you know, you don't play favorites. Your bachelor's and master's from University of Michigan, go blue, and your second master's from Michigan State University, go green.
Very yes. Interesting. I'm a diehard Wolverine, but yes, I did graduate from Michigan State also.
It's all right. I'm an Indiana grad, so I just, you know, plead the fifth or whatever. The Big House. Here's your tagline, Ovell: a human-centered and progressive approach to DEI and positive workforce engagement. What's your book about?
So the book highlights my journey as a diverse leader in corporate America, really focusing on recognizing that the people within an organization are human beings, hence the human and human resources, and being proactive in terms of your engagement, in terms of the interventions that you may put in place within your organizations. I think as we have experienced with the many pivots and changes in the DE&I space, we still have community members who are not thriving. We still need to be laser focused on advocating on their behalves.
You were born and raised here in Grand Rapids, I see. You introduce us to that.
Yes, I was born and raised in Grand Rapids, interestingly enough, right across the street from Martin Luther King Park. And a lot of those early skills that I learned at the park are really transferable into a corporate environment, problem solving, resilience, etc. I recently, you know, posted on LinkedIn that I was glad to see the MLK Center opening up at the park, which is great for that neighborhood and for our city, especially as a person who grew up directly across the street from the park.
Yes, and you had challenges growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a divorced household, worked since I was 12 years old, and am very mindful of the investment that the community made in my pursuit of education. Like, I want to highlight the Urban League providing me with scholarships. And along my journey, I decided I needed to pay back all of my nonprofit scholarships, and I successfully have done that.
Tell me who your book is for, The Big House.
The book is for individuals who are looking to find their voice within corporate America. It's also written for practitioners, both human resources and those who now work in the culture space, in terms of looking at the many systems that come into play that lead to disparate outcomes that are still in existence. So the book is a way for people to really find their voices. There are two mantras that people associate with me. One is stop the silence, and the counter to that is use your voice. So I always encourage people to find a way to advocate on behalf of others.
Tell me about The Leash Lady.
The Leash Lady highlights an experience for me personally that was rooted in an element of bias. I had a person make an unfavorable comment to me. The Leash Lady is a chapter in my book where I had a leader state to me that she was planning to put a leash around me. And it was such an uncomfortable situation for me that I felt like my best response was for me to exit the organization. I felt that I could be subjected to unfair scrutiny, and I felt that that was an indication that the relationship wasn't favorable. So people have said, Ovelle, you take a human-centered approach to your leadership style. And I say, yes, that is true, because working in the space of human resources, that is very important.
Again, Ovelle Barbie Jr. with us. The Big House is latest, a human-centered and progressive approach to DEI and positive workforce engagement. And I don't want to say it's a quick read, but it's an easy read, Ovelle.
Yeah, it's an easy read and intentional. I purposely wrote the book so that it would be a quick and easy read. And I do also want to announce that the content of the book has been mapped to an online course, which I will be announcing later in the spring in terms of that being available for people who are interested.
How will we find that out? Where do you do your announcements?
Most of my announcements occur via LinkedIn, but I also have a presence on Instagram as well.
Yes. What else do we need to know? You have a chapter entitled Stop the Silence, meant for employees.
I would say the final thought in the book, if you can indulge me with a quick passage.
Yes.
My challenge to you is to do all that you can to make this community better. We all can do something. We may not be able to fly, but to make a difference, all you have to do is move forward and not stop. Never stop moving forward. Crawl, walk, run, and then fly. The vision is possible. So thank you in terms of the community challenge and call to action.
Yes. And again, ask me how Ask Ovelle works.
So Ask Ovelle, you can visit my website at www.askovelle.com. People have an opportunity to submit questions that they may not feel comfortable asking at work in terms of confidentiality, the uncertainty in terms of impact to their job. So there are various categories that a person can select from, all confidential: a leader challenge, a coworker challenge, etc. Some examples, people have reached out to me to say, hey, Ovelle, how do I ask for a counter offer on a job offer that I've received? I would say that is one of the number one topics. And so that is the way that people can submit questions that have broad impact. I will either create a video or do a post with the answer on LinkedIn. And sometimes I invite others to weigh in, recognizing the value of diverse perspectives.
Nice. How do we find out more about your work, The Big House?
So The Big House is available on all of the major book retailers, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, etc. And you can also, if you want an autographed copy, you can purchase the book from my website directly. All the books that are purchased from the website, I do autograph personally.
Thank you for autographing mine.
You're welcome.
It's worth some money. Thank you, Ovelle Barbie. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Shelley. Appreciate it.
He writes the book on Learning Solidarity on Mayan Time, Reversing the Missionary Position. I look forward to this conversation. A documentary book release happens this week, Fountain Street Church, speaking with Michigander Jeff Smith. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Our lives have crossed for some probably almost 25 years.
They have.
Nice that you are here. How would you describe who you are and what you're doing now?
Well, I just recently retired, but so I have more time for writing, but I'm still involved in immigration justice work in the community, and in many ways this book is sort of a culmination of since the mid-80s when I was a part of the Central American Solidarity Movement and then spent years living and doing solidarity work in Central America and Mexico, and so it's kind of a reflection on what I've learned over those several decades of doing this work and how much the people I met in that during that time, both here in Michigan and in Central America, how they transformed my life.
What is Mayan time?
So Mayan time just basically means is that so in Guatemala and southern Mexico, the majority of the populations are Mayan Indians. And so they're indigenous people and they just operate on a different time, right? They think in centuries, not in days or weeks or years. So they move at a slower pace and they look at the bigger picture quite often. And that's in many ways how they've been able to survive and be resilient, both with, you know, European colonization of the region as well as the current, you know, political and economic realities.
Are you asking your reader to learn solidarity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really important. And the point of the title is that more often than not, people from here show up in those places either as missionaries or maybe Peace Corps workers or in other capacities, but thinking that we have answers for them. And my experience is that I don't have any answers for them. They taught me. And so it's sort of reversal. So they sort of like converted me, if you will, to use that kind of same religious language, that what I did there was accompaniment work, which is basically I was just with people who were receiving death threats from their own government as a way of keeping them safe. We called ourselves nonviolent bodyguards. So they didn't need me other than just my presence as a white male from the United States who carries a whole lot more privilege than folks there. And that was a way for them to stay safer, to have people like me in that capacity.
Yes. Describe the front cover.
I'm sorry?
Describe the front cover.
Yeah. So that's a picture of, so that's in Chiapas, Mexico, in one of the Zapatista communities. They were doing a celebration, an anniversary celebration, and men were wearing traditional clothing. And that's just a shot of, you know, lower leg of folks while they were doing a traditional dance. And so I just also, to me, it was a very sort of beautiful and very slow sort of sing-songy kind of dance. And again, that's sort of reflective of what Mayan time looks like is, again, these people are very much rooted into the land that they live on, and they just live very different lives than how we do here in the United States. So
it's good talking about, again, the book Reversing the Missionary Position, Learning Solidarity on Mayan Time. Jeff Smith with us. Tell me more of a story there. You add dates and months and more. What's the story you want to share?
Yeah, so a third of the book is just journal entries from all the trips that I spent. And the documentary also is part of that, as well as interviews with lots of people. So there's countless stories. It's mostly people from those communities telling their story. It's not me telling their story. I'm just sort of sharing those stories with them. But, I'll give one example of a 17-year-old Mayan kid that I met in Chiapas, Mexico, in one of the Zapatista communities, and they were doing an educational forum in their village. And he was giving, so this is a 17-year-old kid who had only had a couple years of like formal schooling, but he gave this the most eloquent presentation of the history of Mexico over the last five centuries, because this is what he learned from his community. He didn't have to sit in a school to learn that. He didn't have to read books to learn that. He was, you know, their oral histories were sort of sharing that kind of information. I mean, it was just amazing. So the kind of people I met was just always like that, so courageous, mostly women, Mayan women. So an example is a widow's organization I work with in Guatemala called Conovigua, and they were constantly receiving death threats because they had the audacity to ask the government about the whereabouts of their husbands or their sons who had been kidnapped or killed and didn't know what happened to them. They were disappeared. And we would go with them to the National Morgue on a regular basis to maybe identify people that they knew. But just doing that was considered to be a subversive act. So that's why they asked us to accompany them, because it was risky for them to just try to find out what happened to their spouses or their children, kinds of things. And that's the kind of climate the folks were living in. But these women were just like so courageous and so committed to finding some closure about what had happened to their family members. And that's just one example of just the kind of courage that people demonstrated on a daily basis.
More stories involved. Tell me about your presentation Thursday night, please.
So the event is at Fountain Street Church, begins at 6:30. So I'm showing this documentary, the same title, which is 55 minutes, and it's about the time I spent in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Chiapas, Mexico, which is one-third of the book. And then the other parts of the book deal with doing sanctuary work here in Grand Rapids in the 80s and 90s, and then the work I've been doing with Movimiento Cosecha and GR Rapid Response to ICE since then, right up to the present. And it's an interesting thing that's to reflect on, because people who I was accompanying in Central America who were, you know, receiving death threats, they are probably from the same villages, maybe were neighbors of, or maybe even they are the parents of people who we're offering accompaniment to now right here in Grand Rapids, who are being, you know, threatened by ICE. Just sort of this continuum for me, which is what it's really interesting, but also tragic in that that's the case, that the same kinds of things I was doing there, I'm now having to do here, because people are also living in fear of being detained or deported.
Yes. Keep doing what you're doing. Jeff Smith, your book is out, Reversing the Missionary Position. How do we find out more information? How do we get the book?
You can get it at Schuller Books, because their publishing wing called Chapbook Press is the one who published it. So you can pick it up at their branches throughout Michigan. And you can, again, you can attend the event tonight, but otherwise you can always contact me.
Or tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, Thursday night. Thursday night, 6:30 at Fountain Street Church. Yep.
See, it's on your mind.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Jeff Smith.
Thank you.